I've just climbed a very steep and irregular set of steps to the top of a high hill here in northwestern Pakistan, and I'm now standing at the base of a giant stone obelisk. This monument was built by the British, who improved the Grand Trunk Road, which we've been traveling the last couple of weeks on Morning Edition. We have a view of it here. It stretches out below us and stretches toward the mountains of Afghanistan not far away. We're about to make one of our final stops for now. In this valley, just off to my right, are signs of ancient civilizations, civilizations far, far older than the British Empire that once ruled India. We're visiting a green valley in Taxila, Pakistan. It's covered with the ruins of ancient cities. Those cities are layered on top of even older cities. We've come here as we focus on India and Pakistan's youth. And amid the relics and ruins, we've found at least three layers of Pakistan's next generation. One layer is represented by a 16-year-old named Ma Gul. We met her amid the artifacts at Taxila's museum, which she wanders with her sister and brothers.
What do you like so far?
We like coins and the jewelry things.
The jewelry, yes. Maybe you could pick up a little spare jewelry along the way or something.
No, we're not that.
She hardly needs it. She's beautifully dressed with a glittering scarf around her shoulders. The kids came here with their father, who's an army colonel. In Pakistan, that fact means a lot. As a member of a military family, Ma Gul attends a good school for military personnel. She's poised and speaks English well. She has many future prospects.
Do you want to go on to college?
Yes, I want to go to college.
Do you know what you want to study?
I want to be a doctor.
You want to be a doctor? Why a doctor?
Because my mother liked this occupation.
What kind of doctor do you think? You could work in an emergency room, you could be a specialist.
Cardiologist.
You want to be a cardiologist? Really?
Yes.
Matters of the heart.
As Ma Gul's father knows well, there's a war underway just a short drive from this museum. It keeps some of the tourists away from Taxila, but it won't necessarily keep this family from living a good life. Pakistan's military has gradually taken a larger share of the country's business and land. When we moved out to see more of Taxila, we found another layer of Pakistan's youth.
Welcome, sir. I'm Asad.
What is your name?
Asad.
Asad Mahmood met us at the ruins of an ancient city. He works here as a guide.
No, you follow me, I show you three city level there. You know, now we are standing on the third city, and two more cities still under the ground.
Two more cities still under the ground, meaning that there was a city, it was destroyed, someone built a new
city. This
place
three times destroyed by the earthquakes. Yeah. Now you follow me, I show you three different layers there.
Okay.
The building walls are long gone, but the foundations have survived around 2,000 years. In the late afternoon sun, we stroll along what was the main street. This valley was a crossroads of cultures, Buddhists, Hindus, and others. And we study the remains of carved stone temples from several religions.
All these different religions could live together in one
city. Yeah.
We stop at what's believed to have been the gold market.
So if I wanted to buy my wife a nice ring or a necklace, I might come here to the gold market and get something.
But market is in this time is closed.
Asad's late father worked as a guide in these ruins. Now Asad is a guide. He's 24. He wears a loose brown shirt with a white pen in the pocket. His job brings in $83 a month, but Asad has ambition. He's taking exams for an archaeology degree. He gestures toward the open ground beyond these ruins. He says he believes he could find more ruins buried there.
You want to go dig up more remains?
Yeah. If we have budgets, then we start digging there.
If the money comes,
yeah.
You're ready to start digging.
In this time, budget problems.
Have you yourself done any digging yet?
No.
Do you ever think about going outside of Pakistan to study or to work as an archaeologist?
I want to go if I have budgets. Yeah, then I go to other countries.
He's not sure where he'd go, any place with ruins.
Do you think that you'd have a better life outside of Pakistan if you could go?
Yes, I hope. Yeah.
The sun is sinking behind the mountains as we pull away from the ruins and into a present-day bazaar. Music pours out of a shop that sells souvenirs and artwork. It's a Shiite Muslim song of mourning. Several shops here sell decorated gravestones. Stone cutters work just off the road, and here we cut down to one more layer of young people along the Grand Trunk Road.
23-year-old Malik Tamush Segal pushes a block of stone across an electric table saw. Water pours down to keep the saw blade cool. It turns the workshop floor into a swamp at his feet. Of course, he wears no gloves or goggles. It's an old-fashioned business. Electricity came to these workshops only 15 years ago. The shop owner, Mohammed Anas, says his father was in this business, and his father before. We've been doing this for 1,000 years, he says. The finer work is still done by hand, with the tools that a workman fishes out of a shed.
This is like a spike here. It looks like a little railroad spike. That's a hammer.
The workers cut Quranic inscriptions, or designs of leaves and vines, into stone that will cover a grave. Many of the workers are young, without much education. For them, it's a job. In another shop across the street, we watch one of the youngest chipping away. His name is Raja Junaid Mahmood. He's a smooth-faced kid who says he's 17.
How long have you been cutting stone?
One year.
Who taught you?
His father is also in this business.
Raja Junaid's grandfather was in this business too.
Have you ever been to the ruins up the street, the ancient city?
No.
Yes, he is.
What do you think?
He says, I think about those people who were lords and kings, and they were destroyed.
Did you notice the stone carvings and some of the ancient temples that are there?
Yes,
he's said he's seen.
Do you think 2,000 years from now somebody might be looking at the stone you carve?
Maybe, he says, somebody will look back and say, we were artisans. Raja Junaid enjoys stone cutting, but says he's just doing it to earn money. He's attending a government-run high school at the same time.
Do you want to continue cutting stone when you've finished school?
No, he says. He'd like to get more education, maybe become an electrician. It's not certain how. So far, he's been able to save 500 rupees, the equivalent of $5.89. It'll take a lot of work for him to reach beyond the world of his ancestors. Our journey along the Grand Trunk Road moves tomorrow to Peshawar, near Pakistan's frontier with Afghanistan. This is NPR News.